Hello everyone and welcome to JFG Tonight. I have a new shirt. It needs some adjustments because this is way too flashy for the camera. I mean, it's like a star in the night. I cannot have buttons that are so flashy, but I'm very proud of this new shirt in terms of comfort. I think I'll be more comfortable than with my old shirt. That old shirt, man, I've been streaming with that shirt. I brought it here. I've been streaming with that shirt for 5 years now. Started using it probably around 2017. And look at the patches that Mama JF had done, but there was a hole in it. It's not wearable anymore. And I had to hold my elbow in a certain position so that you guys wouldn't see the new holes that I've started creating here. This is not usable anymore, but wow, man, I've streamed and made a living with this shirt every night, 7 days a week, no vacation most of the time, and it's worn out. It has changed color. Look at the difference of color between this and this. I mean, now, I've been hit by the mall Magadan because I went to town today. Well, yesterday I bought some new version of that shirt on the internet. And this morning I received an email that says, "Sir, your order has been canceled. I had ordered 3 copies of this shirt. Your order has been canceled. We don't have shirts anymore. These shirts don't exist anymore. We can't even deliver them to you," which is weird because they had accepted my order, but somehow they canceled it later. The sizes, the colors are extremely limited. I was seeing that there were X's on all sorts of sizes and color choices, but I chose the last one that was available. It gave me the impression that we live in a cardboard world, like where you just touch it and everything falls. It's like these shirts have been available on the web for months, and it needed me to go buy them for the website to realize that they don't have it in stock. And so sometimes you don't have to push hard on the cardboard to see the illusions of the world fall out. So I find myself this morning, I don't want to wear this shirt anymore because I've been trained, my brain was ready to receive those shirts that I had ordered. And so I say, okay, I'm going to drive to civilization. I'm going to go to a mall and I'm going to do some shopping. The shops, the malls are dead, 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 dead. It is so sad. I was one of the only ones walking around. I mean, we're what? What day are we? Oops, that's it. I've closed all of my windows. We are something like a Tuesday or whatever. We are a Wednesday. The shops were empty. It's so sad because sometimes I was seeing like a little shop in the mall, an Asian seller of rocks or magical magnetic rocks or whatever. And I was passing and I was feeling so awkward. I was like, wow, if I don't buy rocks today, this guy gets 0 clients. This guy must be paying some fee to be renting this space. This guy is paying his own salary to stay there and sell his 5 or 6 rocks. And if I don't buy any rocks, this guy is making 0 today. And I didn't buy any rocks. I don't care for magnetic rocks. And I had great difficulty finding quality shirts. I was going into high-class places for men's wearing, men's clothes. I found this one, but I had to search a lot because they don't have the dark colors, or if they have it, they have it only in one size, or it's too big or too small for me. Things are not available. So I ended up having this only choice that I could buy. I ended up, in fact, at the Giant Tiger. Do you guys know this in America? Giant Tiger? And the only thing I could find, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to wear this on camera, but I found this kind of lumberjack lumberjack style of Code slash Andrew from the Crucible style. I don't know if I'm going to be able to wear this on camera because it's very thick. It's more like a coat. But I thought maybe for the winter in the studio, it gets pretty cold. And at the same time, it's like I had no other choice. So I took the shirts that were available. Lackshed says, JF with the fresh swag, amazing. Well, I don't change shirts often. As I was pointing out, I've been 5 years with a single shirt that I was wearing every night, and it was starting to be unsustainable. Stripes don't work on camera. Yeah, that's the problem. So the only two choices that I could find was this and this. This had the problem of having way too flashy. This is going to be easy to fix. I just have to go buy some black buttons and I can redo them. But this other, I think there's nothing to save it unless I want a very flashy day where I will stream flashy, stream fashion. And the fact that only Lumberjack apparel, I mean, at the same time, I'm paying the price of living way too far in the North Pole. Like, should I be surprised that the only things available are some kind of army looking type of stripe shirt and then some lumberjack looking shirt? It made me realize that Andrew from the Crucible, with his lumberjack style when he dresses as a host, has massive influence on the fashion industry, so much so that it reaches Northern Canada. Doubting Thomas says, JF looking even more dark in his layer, very sinister. Yeah, I wanted dark charcoal. I wanted it a little lighter because on camera it's better, because this is so dark that it kind of melds into nothingness. Like, you can't really see my body. Like, I can move this, you see barely anything because of the lack of contrast, because it's so dark. So, I mean, there are advantages. Of course, it's a black pill show, so it's totally fine that I'm dressed black, but it may be a little too black. But there was no dark charcoal available. The malls are dead. Forget it. The prices are high. I bought a couple of things for Mama JF, but the prices are very high. I bought a new turkey, turkey roaster, but we were tired because all these turkey roasters, they are nonstick surface that chips out. So I bought the ultimate stainless steel turkey roaster. I think she's gonna love it. What else did I buy? Some kitchen stuff. Naberius says, floating head aesthetics. Yes. Yes, it's kind of a floating head effect. Now, I was happy to learn that not so happy because it's sad, but my predictions on the elections were absolutely right yesterday. And Silver Spider was mentioning earlier that Styx and Tim Pool they're taking the black pill in, but I had already taken the black pill. I'm amazed that these people are so delusional, especially Tim Pool. You know how he's easy to get into an excitement. Like, you have to understand at some point that your enthusiasm about your local cultural bubble is not indicative of the reality of the world. And when you're a Canadian right winger, you will learn this the hard way. You will learn this so much harder than the American right winger. But you guys are gonna have to get habituated to this reality. Doesn't matter. In politics, it barely matters anymore whether people are suffering, whether even if there's high crime rate, super inflation. It's not going to change that much the outcome of elections going forward, because you've set yourself in a trap, in a political trap in America, which is that there's a bunch of people who live in your country and it doesn't change life for them, whether there's inflation or not. Their social welfare benefits are adjusted to inflation. Their salary from the government is adjusted to inflation. They're all cared for by the system. And so you can't really mess their plan and their lives. they've been set by the state, and it's going to work. So they know this, and so they're not scared of politicians ruining the economy. They are much more scared of a politician who would want to do cuts in the government agencies that employ them or that give social welfare to them. So when you have such a dependent population, you're stuck in a feedback loop of leftism. And it's going to be this, and it's going to be graver and graver as it goes. Politics is dissociating from the economic reality. I knew that this was going on, and I knew on top of it that you have this new system of mail-in ballots that has not been combated everywhere in America. There are some states that have gotten rid of this and that have been extremely tight in controlling who votes. But in Pennsylvania, for example, it's still going on. In some places, it's still going on. The problem with this, of course, is that you end up having people who wouldn't have the courage, they wouldn't have the energy to go vote, and yet you deliver to them a paper, sometimes with an agent of the Democratic Party, that literally goes to their home and gets the vote to make sure it passes. In that circumstance, you have less of a test for who your voters are. You have less of a threshold, and no matter, inevitably, this leads to lower IQ voters and voters that sometimes are influenced by their loved ones or by agents that are paid by dark networks of money. And that's a totally different input into the voting booth. I've been thinking a lot today about how this is represented as voter fraud and election integrity. I think it's not so wise to be pursuing all of this as voter fraud the way Donald Trump is doing on his Truth Social right now. Because it's not fraud. It's democracy. And you're going to have to be used to it. You have a bunch of stupid people inside your nation, and they have rights. They have the rights to stupidly vote for their stupid politicians. And this is so much graver than fraud, because if it was fraud, eventually you could expose it, and perhaps you'd lose a couple of elections down the road, but eventually it would be exposed. And you know how the Gateway pundits and some people on the right are all over the fraud aspect? I think it's kind of a very energy-draining red herring that is being thrown out there. It's like, oh, look at this bright thing. If it was fraud, wouldn't that be easy to combat? Wouldn't you have a plan to change it, to combat the fraud, make it not happen anymore? But the reality is so much more depressing. The reality is that this is democracy in action. This is what happens when you give power to people who don't deserve it. Eventually, some networks of money are going to find a way, even if they're so stupid that they couldn't possibly drive to the voting booth, eventually they're going to find a way to have them use that power, use that right. And it doesn't matter how much money is invested, since in the end, this use of their power to vote is a transfer of power to politicians like Joe Biden, who eventually will use their power in government to advantage themselves and advantage their networks of friends. For instance, and among a thousand other ways, by sending money toward Ukraine. This is a reality that is much harder to accept, because then you don't have the moral high ground. Your challenge, the way you would combat this, is by making voting harder. And you'll have to recognize that then you are anti-democratic, which of course no Republican, no centrist wants to do. So we are stuck in a very bad place for politics in America, because the only thing that could that could lead to a progression on the Republican side would be an acknowledgement of this very harsh reality that they will lose. They have lost already. The game was demographics. They've lost it. The game was cultural control. They've lost it. The rest is just officializing the loss through the official record, which is very easy to do for Democrats. Purple Tuna says, is this the day JF finally goes full fash, black shirts? Haha. Well, no. That doesn't make me a fascist, but I've always been a libertarian and I've always rejected democracy as a decent mechanism for societal decision and for the very important decision of controlling the entity that can remove rights from us, that can violate our rights. That is not fascism. It is libertarianism, and we need to find better than democracy, or we need to heavily restrict who is present in a nation. Chronic Boom says, men who fought in the Civil War couldn't even vote by mail because in the 1800s you could only vote in person. Yeah, and that puts a threshold, you know. It proves that at least the people who come to decide for society where society is headed can put a shirt on, can put pants on, have the energy to walk, at least to a car that gets them there, are able to talk to the person welcoming them. I mean, as little as it may seem, that is a test. That is a test. And now there are people controlling this nation that don't pass that test. Lendald says, you would have to replace the attorneys, the judges, specific politicians working in positions of function, and so on. And it turns out that it is practically impossible, or at least very difficult. The whole system has been undermined. Sounds like a bad movie, but unfortunately it is true. Absolutely, I agree with this. I see on our Discord that Ariel Suarez has been temporarily limited for violating rules against hateful conduct. Well, too bad. He has violated the rules on Twitter. Careful, Ariel Suarez, careful. I don't want you to be in trouble. Yesterday I talked about a Chronic Boom, and I see that she is on the regular chat. She has sent me very interesting questions, but yesterday I was so weak with my voice, I couldn't do it. Now I feel better. I've been out of the house all day, just shopping, just trying to find one shirt. By the way, it was the only shirt that I could buy. There were no other choice. There was this one that was fitting of my size, but there was not a second copy. I would have liked to buy three or four of that size, but the store only had one left. Chronic Boom says, why does there seem to be a correlation between low IQ and aggression? Not all low IQ populations are violent, but it seems like most low IQ societies converge towards criminality. Is it a compensatory mechanism, i.e. usually when you can't get something by being clever, evolution automatically defaults to taking it by force? Well, I think it's the other way around. I think given that we evolved from apes, and like we evolved from chimpanzee-like creatures, the question becomes not so much how could evolution lead to violence and low IQ, because a chimpanzee, by the standard of human society, is violent and low IQ. So we have to ask, how does the kind of human intelligence that we observe in humanity evolve? And I think the answer is to be found there, rather than seeing, does low IQ cause violence? You have to ask yourself, how does it happen that there are societies that converge toward high IQ? And in these societies, we also observe that they have converged toward nonviolence. And by nonviolence, of course, I mean just a crime rate that is generally lower. That is the question. And the answer to me has been that is a tentative answer. It's not something that I fully know for sure, but it's my hypothesis, and I've never seen it. I've never seen anything that leads me to believe it would be false. My hypothesis is as follows. Intelligence doesn't even have a chance to evolve in violent societies. And so what you have is you need a specific, very rare set of circumstances for intelligence to evolve. And it needs to be that there is transmission of useful knowledge for the survival of people, of the next generations, of your children. And it needs to be the case that there are complex enough problems to solve in the world that require this intelligence. And also, it must be the case that the products of this intelligence cannot be readily stolen by criminality or by just brute force. Now, I believe that the problem of violent societies is that even if some random guy was evolved to be intelligent out of mutations, he would be immediately punished because here he would be, investing lots of energy into his own brain, developing special knowledge, but in a society that constantly drains from him, that steals from him, that wouldn't let him exploit a company because it would not be viable to keep intellectual property of any kind. So if you don't have the mechanism to keep violence from killing the geek, basically, or killing the geek's children, the geek doesn't evolve. That's how I see it. And perhaps you have something like for intelligence to evolve, or at least creative intelligence, you have to have some kind of free market or something that looks like it, a rudimentary version of it. That would explain why you see higher IQ both in Europe and in Asia, where the societies considerably differ from each other. But one of the things that they have is low criminality, higher trust, lower violence among within the society, within the tribe, and opportunities for exchange that are sustained and for a sense of some kind of property. Although the sense of property in the Western European world is very wildly different from the one in Asia, there is something like it. It's not like anything you put on your land is going to get stolen by some pirates or something. We have a couple of super chats before I get to the second Chronic Boom question. Ariel, some random bloke was saying Canada is stuffed. And he's reporting that Punjabi is now the third language in Parliament of Canada. I'm not surprised, man. I see Indian people as soon as I drive towards civilization to go shopping. Amazingly, today I've encountered a pure breed Scotsman, like perfect Scot. There's the no true Scotman fallacy, but I know it's not a fallacy because today I have seen a true Scotman. He was quite polite. He's the guy who sold me this shirt, actually. He had red hair. He looked like a polite young Viking. I have seen Scottishness in a way that I c didn't know was possible today. But other than this, lots of Indians in Canada. Ariel Suarez has sent a super chat. Thank you so much for supporting the show. By the way, if you'd like to support the show, do like Ariel Suarez, Lix Megamin, and some random bloke. Use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey super chats are my favorite way to receive support for the show. And we don't care about the SEC and what they found yesterday or 2 days ago. Liberty on the internet will continue, and it will continue here on Odyssey. Ariel Suarez says, every organization, no matter how democratic, always inevitably develops into oligarchy, especially large and complex one. Robert Michel called it the iron law of oligarchy. Well, yes, because everyone is looking to delegate something. It's the same thing in internet censorship. There's internet censorship, and it's totally misdirected because the CEOs want to find a woman who's going to do it for them. If we had Jack Dorsey make the decisions for censorship, it might have made sense. But no, he entrusts this systematically as a delegation, and whatever you delegate, I think people who are successful in business understand this. Whatever you delegate will be lower quality work. It will not have your vision imbued into it. This delusion that you can just hire someone to do something may be true if the thing is super simple, like placing milk in an alley that I could do as an employee and other people can do. But something like determining the extent of censorship of a Twitter or YouTube or whatever, that you cannot delegate because you're going to end up with delusional people who pursue, who have fun. You know how when you want a job, you need to have fun doing it. You want to have fun in your job. Can you imagine when you apply for a trust and safety job at Twitter or YouTube, the kind of person you must be to be enjoying this? I'm going to be censoring people. I think I'll be good at this. That sounds psychopathic already. Balloon Nut sends $10. Thank you so much. He says, what is the real difference between the right and the left? Those labels feel so arbitrary now. Yeah, I mean, forget about the Republicans. If you really want to talk, because the Republicans, the Democrats, this is not the right and the left. Now, functionally, you know, I know that the right-wingers will prefer the Republicans because they seem to be more right-wing a little bit, at least at this point, just on the social conservative style, but not so much on the statism question. But you have to forget everything if you want to come to a rational definition of what is the left and the right. You have to forget everything about the current world, because the current world is the pragmatic fight in a binary political system that tries to get as much as it can of support on both sides. So forget Republican, Democrat. What is right and left to me? And you have, on the 2D political scale, you have right and left, and then you have liberty and authoritarianism. So already this suggests that we already have word for liberty versus authoritarianism. So we want to completely exclude this from the left and right. So what's left? Well, what's left is the economic question, which is, okay, you're going to be a libertarian or an authoritarian, but you're going to want something to be true in society. And your libertarianism will be such that you don't want to impose it on other, or your authoritarianism will indicate that you want to impose it on other and force others to be that way. But what is that way? What is your preference about society that we will assign to the x-axis of the political spectrum? Well, generally, it is the size of the state, that is, how much of the economy should be controlled by private interest versus state interest. That is, to me, the true definition of right wing. That is, by the way, the only definition under which I am far right. The only sense in which I am far right, and it's not the sense that they will use when they try to smear me, it's not the sense they will use when they want to talk bad about me. But it's true that I am as right-wing as you can be, because I'm an extreme libertarian. I consider that the state occupying any role is already an invasion of liberty, because they're going to occupy this role by taking money from people under taxes. So that is the right definition of right and left. Chronic Boom says, JFG tonight, a far-right cooking show. That would still be a great idea. I mean, at some point, that was a great idea that I wanted to do, you know, a far-right cooking show. And eventually, YouTube grew so much in censorship that it wasn't even possible for me to even dream about it. I mean, just the joke of having the title A Far-Right Cooking Show, even if I was just making recipes, would have been getting me censored. But now on Odyssey, I guess I could start a far-right cooking show and people would understand it for the joke that it is. I had a great idea for my intro to this show. It was already set in my head. It would be like the camera would follow a pan. And it's like you would see the pan with some oil in it and sparkling and heating. And then you would start following the circle and it would start like Charlie Kirk. And then it would follow the handle of the pan and it would be like, I don't know, Stefan Molyneux. And then it would be like Emily Yukis. And then there would be maybe a nuclear bomb just showing up at some part of the handle. And nuclear mushroom. And then there would be Richard Spencer. And then there would be David Duke. And then there would be, at the very end of this, JF. And the camera would come back from the handle of the pan. And we would see a steak. There would be a super raw, super bloody steak just thrown onto the oil. And the signature would appear, A Far-Right Cooking Show. That would have been fun. That would have been fun. But for many years of my life, I had to take this dream and put it away. Because just the joke of saying A Far-Right Cooking Show wouldn't have survived on YouTube and Twitter. We can't even have fun anymore. So sad. So yes, as far as the result of the elections go, like yesterday I had said, there is no Republican wave. There is no red wave. I said yesterday, if there will be a red wave to the extent that the Republican will improve their positioning, but it's going to bring them around basically uncertain majority. We will basically be at a standstill around 218, and that seems to be where it's headed, unless the Republicans make massive advancement in those races that are not called yet. I would expect that it will land exactly on my prediction. So the reason for it is it's not like the 90s where if you break the economy, you get politically punished. You can break the economy, and there's some voters that are unaffected by the economy. They will keep voting for you. There's the young generation that's coming that doesn't quite care about it and that cares about woke stuff. And you don't even have, this old contingent of Republican voters. They are dying at an increasing rate. So all of these factors taken together is throwing this this country onto an unstoppable slide toward the left. Valet says, that would be a good show. Damn. Yes, and like I can imagine myself in front of some pans and with epic music in the background, and it's like, the migrants are at the door. We have only one thing to left. Eat the good steak while it's still available. The country is falling. And then I could just prepare a meal, and there would be nothing right-wing about this meal. It would just be a meal. But I mean, it would be focused on meat. McCauley sends a super chat. He says, Gen Z is majority brown. Secession is the only hope. I've been saying this for a long time. I agree with you. Purple Tuna says on Entropy, the way they calculate network is junk. Kanye had 2 billion. Now he lost most of it within a few weeks. The way I understand net worth is value you already own, but not future potential value, if everyone abides by their initial contract with you. Yes, there's been two cases of net worth disappearing. There's Kanye West recently, and then there was another. Was it Kyrie Irving? Some basketball player, apparently? I'm not sure. I haven't followed this story in detail, but he showed a documentary that was somehow talking about Jews, and he got fully canceled and dropped in net worth. Anyways, yes, net worth is a ridiculous concept. It's ridiculous for many reasons. First, there's the reason that if your net worth is mostly due to actual assets that you own, like stocks, it assumes that the stock value that's currently on the market, if you were to sell it, the problem is if you were to just start selling even 1% of your large stocks holdings, people would detect it and the prices would crash. So if Elon Musk decides to sell Tesla shares, it's like, okay, the first that he sells is going to get it at the current market price. The last that he sells might be for like 50 times less money than the first that he sold. So there's this to consider in net worth. It's assuming maintenance of the current market prices, which cannot be assumed. And then a lot of this network also relies, especially for actors and everything, it relies on goodwill, conceptions of goodwill, conceptions of, okay, this guy, even if he doesn't have a money flow toward him, he has value. Like, everyone would want to work with Johnny Depp. So Johnny Depp, everyone knows that if he just says, I want to be part of this movie, he's going to be accepted and they're going to pay him a large amount. Now, it turns out that I used a particularly fit example, Johnny Depp. The problem of this goodwill conception is that goodwill can disappear based on social consideration. So some random woman in your past starts saying some shit about you. It's going to take you a year to get a defamation trial. Meanwhile, your goodwill has disappeared. You have a theoretical value, but no one will make a pirate movie with you in it. So what is it worth then? Zero? These net worth conceptions are to be completely treated carefully. The second question of Chronic Boom that I... My God, it took me 20 minutes to get there. She says, also on the topic of gay male extroversion. So this whole idea that I've presented recently, that there is an extroverted to gay pipeline. That is, and that is based on my observation of my friend who became gay when I was young, where I saw him start acting fabulous. Oh, and he was like, la 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 la. He was starting to sing like this while walking in the high school. And I was like, what the fuck is happening? La 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 la. And eventually I saw this guy started being interested in being gay. So she says, on the topic of gay male extroversion, I don't believe that intro and extroversion are a true personality trait. They are synthetic personality traits only useful for career class in high school. That's why they aren't super heritable. They should be seen as the cumulative effect of a complex combination of other personality traits, i.e. autistic tendencies, social finesse, neuroticism, femininity. Gay males are more extroverted because females are more extroverted. Females need social links to survive, while males benefit from long periods of autistic focus and can take more of a hit to their social skills. I agree. That is a good way to frame it. And I've never said anything to the contrary. I agree that the extroversion component of gay lifestyle is stemming from probably the same route that these this component is for the same reasons for why it's high in women also. And yes, there is something to be said about the autistic tendency being more frequent in males, so you just have more autism on the male side, and therefore you may conclude from this that men evolutionarily can still do good without social skills. They can get rid of some of the social skill if it's worth the trade-off. Whereas perhaps women don't have this option. Perhaps a woman without social skill does survive less or reproduce less. Crazy Catman says, Jeff, that's a sign your friend was getting molested by an older male. Not even kidding. Maybe it is. It didn't pass in my head. It didn't. I wasn't able to tell that this was happening when I was young. I mean, I was 11 years old when I saw him start doing this. Didn't cross my mind that it must have been because of abuse. I may not even have the concept of abuse back then in my head. I've had a wonderful childhood and life, and probably couldn't cross my mind that some abuse may have been going on. Crazy Catman says, autism has always been there, in my opinion. It's just that society found a way to make money diagnosing it. Yes, I agree. Definitely. Tom says, I wish JF would unban me. All I did was talk about a taboo historical subject. Well, Tom, find a way to contact me on Discord DM or send me an email. All I need is your nickname on Odyssey. If you're telling me that you will stop talking about these things, I'll be happy to unban you. Just find a way to remind me. So email, you will find my email on jfg.world or contact me through Discord DM. All my links are in the description below. It's just that I'll probably forget to go check, and it's hard to find someone named Tom. You know, there's maybe 10 different Tom that I banned, so I need to find your account on Odyssey. If you got infected with Omicron at any time, a third vaccine dose actually doubles your risk of reinfection compared to two doses only. Amazing immune imprinting at work. Well, that could also be the mechanism through which the vaccine has negative effectiveness. So this guy is presenting a figure that shows getting infected with Omicron increases your risk of reinfection along with the vaccine. So if you took the third dose of the vaccine and you got Omicron before that, you're going to be more likely to be reinfected. So I think that what's at play is something like he mentions, immune imprinting. There's something that happens to your immune system where it's getting obsessed with something. It's getting obsessed to producing certain antibodies, and those antibodies are not the proper response. Or perhaps they come at a concentration where they cause ADE. Antibody-dependent enhancement, but something goes wrong that leads you to be more likely affected by the virus later. Chronic Boom says, could you link this study? Yes, here it is. You will find it in the subtweet of this. Here's the link. It's in the chat. So we'll have to wait, I guess, to get our final answer on the politics, but certainly You know, DeSantis has been performing amazing in Florida, but there's some white pitting aspect about this and some black pitting aspect. On the one hand, wow, wonderful, you know, DeSantis is going harsh with his policies. He's standing strong for a truly socially conservative view of his role as a governor, and he gets rewarded by massive support in Florida. The black pitting part is, could DeSantis accomplish this at the national level? Because at the national level, you end up pissing off the leftists, and they end up going after you as a fascist. Now, whether the leftists would succeed at doing what they've done with Trump is a good question, but it may be impossible to pull this kind of stuff at the national level. Certainly, eventually, it will become impossible. There will just be too much leftist resistance to any traditional or socially conservative conception of society. And the more you are socially conservative, the more they will be motivated at voting against you. So, but personally, the success of DeSantis, to me, is giving me so much more hope that he would be the presidential candidate than Trump. Because Trump, we know that he's not going to advance America in a socially conservative manner. Trump can just sit there. And on top of it, on the vaccine question, Ron DeSantis is so much better. You know, Trump has supported the vaccine in some way that I would have expected just as much a Democrat president to do so. He has pushed in a time where they were starting to deploy these violations of rights. He was rooting for it, and he was standing there not talking about individual liberty. He could have had a leadership role in the other sense, but he didn't. So Trump, to me, it's not an exciting candidacy, although he has 70% support and more inside the Republican Party. DeSantis would bring something fresh and something good, at least on the side of medical rights. Chronic Boom says, "All right, got to go, friend. Thanks for addressing my comments, JF. I'm still always listening live or by MP3, but it's good to hear, and I know you're always around, and I was sad that I couldn't answer your questions yesterday, but I was physically unable, but I know you have a lot of work, so go ahead and leave." We had a super chat. McCauley says, "In your opinion, is it feasible that there could be mass deaths from the vaccine, or is that schizo tier thinking?" No, I think there has been lots of death. Evaluating this number is basically impossible, but I think there's been plenty of death. If you just take what's acknowledged by the system, if you just take what an average leftist will acknowledge, we're talking about myocarditis. We're talking about blood. There were blood problems with the brain and cardiovascular accidents. We're talking about deaths being acknowledged as being caused by the vaccine, a handful of them. So if you just take what they acknowledge and admit, it gives you a window into what could be. And what could be is that these VAERS events, which are reported in the database, could all have been caused by the vaccine. I'm not saying they were all caused by the vaccine. I'm saying those are all people that have died. And when you look at the report, it comes within 30 days, within a 30-day window after the vaccine. And most of the death, they come 2 to 3 days after the vaccine. So the hypothesis, all VAERS reported vaccine injuries have been caused by the vaccine, is not a out there hypothesis. It could be true. Now, they're going to argue, well, the people reporting this don't know. Well, okay, they don't know. You don't know. I don't know. But you don't know that it's not. So you don't know that the vaccine hasn't killed 20,000 people. Because we're talking about this number approximately, I guess, at this point. Because last time I checked, it was 16,000 or whatever. So you cannot tell me, even if you're a big vaccine supporter, you cannot tell me for sure that the vaccine didn't kill 20,000 people. And now we start considering, could we even consider worse than this? Well, is it possible that the virus report being socially pressured against in a society that doesn't want to acknowledge that the vaccine is dangerous, in a society where nurses are silenced, in a society where people lose their social media account, their bank account for complaining against the vaccine, in which the doctors are in the hospital telling their base, telling their employees, don't talk about this? Is it possible that the 20,000 people not only would have been killed by the vaccine, is it possible that they are an underestimation of the true extent of the killing? And we're talking about a virus system that is anyway restricted to the US. So is it possible that when you consider all countries taken together, much more numerous than the US, and then you multiply by a factor of underestimation, so how pressured are people not to report to the virus? Is it 50% of people who end up reporting their doubt? Is it 10%? Is it 2%? I would argue by this standard that you don't know that the vaccine hasn't killed 5 million people. You cannot make a solid case today that the vaccine has not killed 5 million people. Now, you can argue, and we can go back and forth, and you can be, oh, JF, we would have seen some rise in the life insurance payments, in the mortgage industry of mortgage insurance on death. And I'd be like, okay, and then I'd give my arguments. But you wouldn't have a solid, solid case. You wouldn't have a case that I have to acknowledge as absolutely true, that the vaccine didn't kill up to 5 million people. That's the situation we're in. And as long as we're under a world in which there is such social pressure not to conclude that the vaccine has killed 5 million people, I won't believe the official voices that are just saying it on faith. If you want me to believe you, if Dr. Fauci wants me to believe him, he has to tell me how he knows. Now he's going to tell me, well, we did a trial with 60,000 people. Yeah, but we've exposed that there were subcontractors that run this trial that were hiding information. There was a guy who reported a massive vaccine-induced injury, and it got classified as COVID. This guy is a liar, and it's all documented. It was somewhere in South America. So we know that your trials are contaminated with fake data. We know that the doctors have been pressured to say, oh, well, it's caused by COVID rather than caused by vaccines. And on top of it, we know that the 60,000 people who got into these studies have been selected at an age range that is not representative of the real people who got the vaccine. It's like this extent, like from 30 to 60 years old, whereas we know that there were people at 95 years old who got the vaccine. How many of them have you killed? You don't know. I don't know. No one knows. No one wants to know. I want to know. Epistemic relativism says, see the insurance claim. Life insurance companies in Germany and US have already said they are seeing far more excess death than is in any way, shape, normal, all after the vaccines were released and mandated. Yeah, I know. I was talking about a theoretical debate in which someone would say, well, you would see it in the life insurance industry. And Of course, my answer to this would be, well, let's have a look at the numbers, because I've heard from many people on social media that these numbers are very high this year and last year. I would like to have a definite look at these numbers. I never did deeply and seriously, but I would like to have a look at these numbers because what I trust as numbers is the EuroMOMO report. And the EuroMOMO report indicates excess death continuously since the vaccine started. You want to see it? EuroMOMO, public data from a European agency. This is unquestionable, okay? And this is pooled deaths, all age, EuroMOMO. So what do we have? You see the normal situation, other than the flu season, we stay below the red dotted line, below the red dotted line. Oh, a little peak surprising here, but generally below the red dotted line. Flu season, below the red, but other than the flu season, below the red dotted line. And then, poof, COVID happens. Okay. You can say that COVID was just a late flu season-like entity below the red line. Little irregularity here, but we've had it in all the previous years, so we're not worried. Everything is fine. We had a large flu season and then our little summer irregularity that's present in all previous summers. This is the second COVID season. Okay, large COVID season, but we're going back under the red line. And then you know what happens here? The vaccine starts. The vaccine starts being delivered here. What do we have? A bump above the red line, out of the flu season and out of the regular summer season. The little peak here is this is very out of it. We are above the red line, above the red line. We fall a little bit under the red line. But then summer comes and it's much more extended. Above the red line, above the red line, above the red line, above the red line, above the red line. There is not a single time point in which there is less, in which there is a normal amount of expected death. All of the time points from the moment the vaccine started are all above the red line, except this little exception here. Above, above, above. There is not even a conception of the flu season getting you above the red line anymore. You are always above the red line. Now that's the third COVID season. Above, but we don't get out of it. Above the red line, above the red line, above the red line, above the red line, above the red line. Oh, a little drop, but oh, you go back immediately above the red line. Above the red line, above the red line, above the red line, above the red. My God. Since the moment we started injecting people with this vaccine, there is not a period of a month that goes by without us being in abnormally high excess death in the whole of Europe. Fix DSM says that spike was lockdown's first spike. JF, have you read Denis Rancourt papers on this? Yeah, I mean, when I say this is the peak that represents the first COVID peak, I understand that there can be a lot of causes, including the political and business causes, and the fact that they destroyed the economy so much, there might have been people who committed suicide. I understand all of this, but it's still a good way to label it first COVID wave. I understand that it's not necessarily all caused by COVID. But yeah, so this data here makes me very worried that the hypothesis we have killed millions of people with the vaccine may not be so much out there to answer your super chat question fully. It's not schizo-tier thinking in my view. Finally, the Binance FTX thing that happened yesterday, that I was shocked that Binance wanted to buy FTX. Because FTX was headed toward bankruptcy and a lack of funds to pay for the withdrawal request. And Binance has withdrawn. So Binance has said, we're not doing this anymore. CZ has explained that he wanted to help investors. He wanted to save FTX so that we don't end up with investors being ripped of their money. But he then had a look at the full problem and he said, it's beyond our ability to control. There's just too much debt. Now, FTX is gone. Your money is gone if you had money at FTX. There may be ways to recuperate through the courts, maybe some amount of that money, but FTX will be insolvent. Binance has abandoned the saving of FTX. FTX was committed to big firms like BlackRock and other firms to keep their Bitcoin. They completely disappeared. It's going to be bigger than Mt. Gox. They are in the debt of $8 billion. So when they look at what they have and when they look at how much they owe to their customers, it's $8 billion. So we are talking about a massive amount of money that... How did this happen? People were depositing their Bitcoin. What did you do with these Bitcoin? I guess they deceived themselves into thinking in these fractional reserve term. And oh yeah, since not everyone will ever withdraw their Bitcoin, we can invest them somewhere else. I don't know. Did someone steal their Bitcoin? Midterms and FTX fiasco spark a red wave across stocks and crypto. So not the red wave you expected. It's not going to be a Republican Party red wave. It's going to be a complete crash of FTX as an exchange and their customers. Is there anyone in the chat who was a customer of FTX? I'm sorry for you. You've lost your money. I wasn't. I don't know anyone who ever dealt with FTX. Let me know in the chat if we have members of our community dealing with them. I had never heard of this exchange before. And thank God I didn't, because I could have Bitcoin in there. I could have had, if I knew about this exchange, I could have had a fraction of my Bitcoins on there. John Drake says, why people mess with peripheral crypto is beyond me. Yeah. That is so well said, because it includes the problems of the altcoins, but it includes also so much more. Why the heck do you go to the second tier stuff when something like Binance has shown again and again that it was stable and it can survive a couple of bear markets? Why the heck would you say, oh, personally, I really like this this secondary exchange. I like having less options and being generally less reliable and having a team that didn't have to prove over 10 years that they were reliable. I just like it. Purple Tuna says, I'm happy that you decided to commemorate the death of Aaron Carter by dressing in black. Yes, Aaron Carter, the brother of some Backstreet Boys. This has hurt me so much that today I'm dressed in black. Bitcoin, they say SBF, who is the owner of FTX, has killed the midterm rally. Now, Bitcoin completely drops in price because of this. That's too bad. People are losing money. Here are the funds that are about to lose billions of dollars in FTX. BlackRock, Ontario Pension Fund. Holy shit. You took Canadian people's money through their little pension fund that they pay, and you trusted FTX to keep your bitcoins? Sequoia, Paradigm, those are big firms. Those are big things. Circle, SoftBank, Ribbit, Alan Howard, Multicoin, Van Eck, Tamasek. I don't know about the last few ones. What the fuck are you guys doing? Do you understand how bitcoins are kept? Do you understand that no matter who you are, even if you're FTX or you're CZ of Binance, the holding of your Bitcoin relies on your ability to properly hide a sequence of 20 words? You realize that you, I, every human being on Earth, is 20 words away from controlling Binance, entire Bitcoin reserve? That is what Bitcoin is. So when you delegate, when you start saying, oh yeah, these people have specialized in keeping Bitcoin for other people. Thank you so much, FTX. Of course, these people will not be as good as you to keep their 20 words paper secret. Epistemic Relativism says, JF, FTX was a Wall Street-type hedge fund VC interest. It was allegedly doing a Lehman Brothers by issuing crypto to borrow stable coins. That is also one thing that CZ has raised on his Twitter account. He says that gives a lesson to anyone in the crypto space. You cannot be in this space and not have large reserves and start doing these fractional lending, borrowing schemes and interest payments of all kind. I think it's very well said by CZ of Binance. And you can't. I mean, the conception, it's very doubtful that you don't end up paying some price when you start these lending structures. Now, either your cryptocurrency is a smart contract type of thing, where the payment for the interest will be implemented through a known and public system like Hex. Hex, you know, tells all of its users, we're going to gather whatever amount of Hex that can be collected from the penalty fees and this and that. We're going to pool it and give it fairly to everyone who has Hex deposited. That's a public way of doing it. But when you start doing this with Bitcoin, Bitcoin doesn't have a smart and public way to do this. So you need a system. Now, Binance has developed this system. They say, okay, we have these people who want to play on our futures betting platform. They're ready to pay a fee. So if you have Bitcoin, we can lend your Bitcoins to them while they play. They lose their money and this generates a lot of Bitcoin, and we can pay you back some small fair interest to you. That kind of works. But when you start going into these complex patterns of, I'm lending you this, and oh, I have a customer that's taking some loan, and this customer has too much of this crypto and is going to loan, this becomes so complicated that eventually it crashes. FixDSM says, it's counterparty risk, opposite of purpose of crypto, first principles. Exactly, it's very anti-crypto, this whole conception. But when I look at these people, I mean, I would be very hurt if some people of my community have lost money through the FTX stuff. I'm so sorry. But when I see that BlackRock has lost money, I'm like, I'm not sorry. When I see that the Ontario Pension Fund has lost money, I'm like, oh, a normie pension fund, I'm not sorry. Lendalt Guntram says, apparently they do not understand that BTC is actually precious, at least among digital entities, and cannot be diluted over the long term like fiat monkeys, lol. Yeah. It is very bizarre that any system of interest payment would ever survive long-term on BTC. because it's a rare thing. Having a BTC is exceptional. You should hold to it. You should love it like it is. You should not want it to become with time 1.001 BTC. You should keep it at one. That's already super. It's going to gain value. Now, there is this bizarre situation on Binance where they've started the Earn platform. And it does pay interest on Bitcoin. And when you're in the bull run, it's like, what the fuck? Not only are you telling me that my Bitcoins are worth more, like my Bitcoins are doing 10x, on top of it, you're giving me more Bitcoin. Now, Binance has a ethical way of doing it, which is they have so much people paying fees through their futures platform that these fees inevitably can be transferred to the people lending this money. In a way, they need this liquidity to operate their platform, and so they can pay back. Beyond our ability to help, Binance abandons the FTX deal. SBF admits $8 billion shortfall, bankruptcy likely. Well, that is it. One of the greatest bankruptcy in the crypto world. People are saying it's going to surpass Mt. Gox. But what do you expect? A young platform. You know, you have to be extremely motivated to be fair in this domain. Because anyone who operates a crypto platform of that kind is 20 words away from running with the money, from not honoring their commitment, from not even understanding to what they've committed to their users. And you need someone like CZ. You need someone that has believed in this system before it was cool. That is good. But if you're in it for the Wall Street people and for being an intermediary of the Wall Street and the pension funds, for trying to get the normies involved into what is ultimately an anti-normie currency, you're going to fail. One thing to avoid: pariah treatment. Putin will skip the G20 summit. This will be our last news item for tonight. So yeah, I was wondering about the awkwardness that would happen on the G20, because I knew that if Putin was there, they would do all sorts of stuff for the camera to show, oh, we're not talking to Putin. Well, Putin has decided not to go to the summit. He's going to be sending his usual representative, Lavrov, I believe. Yeah, Lavrov. So he's going to be there in his name. And so if the rest of the G20 wants to boycott Russia, they're going to have to boycott not Putin himself, but Lavrov. It's a little less shiny. It's a little less prestigious to be boycotting Lavrov than to be boycotting Putin. And at the same time, we know what happened when Putin goes at these things. There are boob exposed woman running after him and starting to yell, Putin dictator, Putin dictator. And so it's better that he stays home. That will be it for tonight. I see that Tom on Entropy has sent me an email, so right after the show I'll be able to unban you. That is it for tonight. Much love. I will see you all tomorrow, and I have something on schedule. Tomorrow there will be a double program. I'm going on Modern Day Debate. People might remember Saul Cordova. He's a guy that I had tag teamed against him, and it was him and another guy. And Saul Cordova was more interested in the biology discussion of creationism. But the discussion was a tag team, so we had converged on completely separate subjects. So Saul didn't get to make his argument as he wanted, and I didn't get to engage with it as he wanted. So tomorrow we are correcting this on Modern Day Debate. We'll have a true evolution versus creation debate with only him and me. No tag team to dilute the quality. So that will be tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. See you all tomorrow. on the regular show, which will be at 7 p.m. Eastern time, but which will be short so that I can get to that debate. Bye-bye. Thank you.